a turnaround in your life, a turnaround. There's weapons coming at you, but you need to know that no weapon's going to prosper. Amen? They may be formed against you, but they're not going to prosper. All right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11. We all know that Pentecostal acronym, PUSH. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Come on, say it with me. Pray until something happens. And that's exactly what we're doing during 21 days of hunger. It's 21 days of push. 21 days of push, right? Now, I know it's not been easy, the fasting, the praying. That's why we keep pushing. Everybody say push. I know there's been resistance. In fact, you might be praying for things and they seem to be getting worse every time you pray for them. Anybody notice that? Right? That's why we push, right? I know at times your faith probably has wavered and you felt like giving up, but that's why we say push. You've got to pray until something happens. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't relent. Don't pull back. Perseverance and persistence in faith prevails in the kingdom of God. Does anybody believe that today? Right? That's why it's not 2 days of hunger. That's why it's not 1 day of hunger. Okay? That's why it's 21 days of hunger, because we're pushing for 3 weeks. So in Luke chapter 11, there's a statement that Jesus made that helps us to understand a little bit about pushing and how we do that. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened to him, right? Ask, seek, knock. Say it with me. Ask, seek, knock. That's what I'm going to talk about today. That's the title of this word. Ask, seek, knock. And I think that when Jesus talked about ask, seek, knock, he wasn't just randomly picking up some words. Jesus, I think, was actually making a point about prayer, and that there's actually three different levels or intensities in prayer. There's asking, there's seeking, and there's knocking. I want to talk about these three levels of intensity in prayer as we enter into our third week of 21 days of hunger. Everybody say one more week. One more week. Come on, make this the strongest push. Make this the fiercest prayer. Amen? Okay, so first of all, ask. Jesus said, he said, ask and you will receive. Ask, right? So asking. So what is that? What does that mean? Well, asking, I believe, is the easiest level of prayer. It's the easiest, maybe the softest level of intensity. Asking is like a child sitting on her father's lap, and they're kind of sitting there maybe in the cozy living room and the fire's burning and he's reading his daughter a story and she asks him a question. She says, Daddy, can I have this thing? Can I have a cookie? Or Daddy, can you read this story to me? And the daddy, without any effort or without any requirement, right, on behalf of the child, the daddy says, sure, I'll read you that story. Sure, you can have that cookie. And he grants her request. Everybody say ask. So Paul said, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. We are told in the scriptures to ask. Whatever your need, whatever your challenge, whatever you're going through, the Bible tells us to ask. And that God hears our ask, and he answers our prayers. Asking, praying, makes a difference in the situation. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, does anybody believe that? Asking God makes a difference, right? Something happens when we pray that does not happen when we don't pray. I say that all the time. Something happens. You may not see it, you may not feel it, you may not hear it, but by our faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen, right? Even though we don't feel it or see it, we know because we choose to believe that as we ask, God hears and all of heaven goes into motion on our behalf. Jesus said, ask, you will receive. James said, you have not, because why? You ask not. Jeremiah prophesied, he said, call to me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Is there sickness in your body? Ask. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all our diseases. Do you need financial provision? Ask. He is the Lord who meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you have friends that are, or family members that are lost? Ask, because God is not willing that any should perish. Do you need wisdom? Do you need guidance? Do you need counsel? Ask, because the scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Hallelujah. He's a God who responds to our asking. How's your faith today? Amen? Are you with me? Right? Again, sometimes we don't feel like God is responding. Sometimes we don't feel like we're anything's changing, okay? That's where our faith needs to take over. We do not lead by our feelings. We lead by our faith. Some people think, well, I'll have faith when I see, or I get some assurance, or I get some sign. No, 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 no. That's not faith. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We lead by faith. We put faith out in front, and we say, I believe because I asked. God has heard, and things are moving. Things are stirring. Things are changing. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know what. I don't know where, but I know God. I know he hears. I know he's with me. I know I can ask, and he hears my ask. Hallelujah. Right? But now there are examples in Scripture where we see that people did ask, but they did not receive immediately what they asked for. So in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul asked that he had this thorn in the flesh, and he asked three times that God would remove the thorn. And God basically said no. Right? And Mary and Martha, you remember in John chapter 11, their brother Lazarus was sick, and they sent word to Jesus, and they asked that Jesus would come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus said, not yet. Right? Wait. Actually, Jesus stayed where he was, and he allowed the situation that Mary and Martha were facing to get worse, to even seem hopeless. Lazarus died. How many remember the story? Lazarus died. Jesus allowed the situation to become absolutely hopeless, right? Because he had another plan. See, their goal for the situation was that their brother be healed. Jesus had another goal for the situation. His goal is that he wanted Mary and Martha to have a deeper, more fuller understanding of who Jesus was. They knew him as the healer. Jesus wanted to reveal himself as the resurrection and the life. And the only way he could bring Mary and Martha to a higher understanding of who he is and what he can do is by allowing him to go through that period where he did not give them the ask right away. And he did not answer the ask the way that they wanted him to do it. He had another way to turn things around. Amen? How many understand sometimes the answer to your prayer is not a straight line from A to B? Anybody understand that? Okay. Sometimes the answer to your prayer goes from A to W to S to T, all goes all over the place, right? And then eventually ends up at B. Why? Because God's taking us for a journey of faith and growth and maturity, right? That brings me to the next part here, seek. He said, seek and you will what? You will find. Seek and you will find. So when we ask and we don't receive, then we need to go to the next level where we seek until we find. So seeking is a little different from asking. It implies that there's some effort involved on our part. You see, the little girl sitting on her father's lap, she just said, Daddy, will you read me a story? And the daddy said, sure. And he reached for a book, right? There was no effort required on that little girl's part. But seeking requires effort on the part of the one asking. See, when you're seeking, that means you've got to move some stuff out of the way. That means you've got to turn some tables over. That means now you got to pull some carpets back. That means you got to look around up on shelves, in cabinets. You got to search, you know? There's some things that you got to do. You're a part of this process of the answer coming to your life, right? So this is what Jesus meant by seek and you will find. Seeking implies that there is some responsibility we have in God answering our prayer. If you're praying for a job, there's effort involved on your part. You got to send your resume out. You got to make some phone calls. You got to do some follow-up calls. You got to knock on some doors, right? And believe that as you do your part, God is going to open up doors. That as you're diligent, as you demonstrate responsibility, you're going to provoke opportunities in your life, right? I said it last week. Yes, God will move your mountain, but don't be surprised if he hands you a shovel in the process. Okay? Amen? Right? If you're praying for your marriage to be healed, there are some things that you're going to have to do there. Right? You can't just sit back and give your husband the silent treatment all the time. Right? Husbands, you can't neglect your wife's needs. Wives, you can't disrespect. There are some things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take some steps. Humble yourself. Make some apologies. Amen? Did I just lose everybody here? Right? Okay? When you realize that you said something that you shouldn't have said, and you realize that you offended or you hurt, you got to take it back, and you got to apologize for it. You got to humble yourself. You got to show respect. Wives, show respect to your husband. Learn how to compliment them. Learn how to encourage. Learn how to appreciate instead of always pointing out all the things that they haven't done and what they yet need to do. Amen? You know, we can't just pray, Lord, heal my marriage and not do what we have to do. Amen? Okay? So there are things that God will do for us, ask and you will receive, but then there are those things that God has equipped us to do for ourselves, and then as we show our faithfulness, God meets us and adds his portion. We cannot expect God to do in the supernatural what he has called us to do in the natural. Don't pray for God to meet your needs if you're wasting money on expensive clothes and overpriced cars. Hello? Don't pray for God to make you healthy if you have terrible eating habits, you never go to the gym, and you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. Right? Are you going to come forward and pray for God to heal you? Right? You understand what I'm saying? You come forward. God. Now, we can pray for God to heal you, but you're going to have to get rid of those cigarettes. Am I making sense to anybody today? Right? Amen? Imagine going to the gym. How many have ever been to the gym? Anybody here? Right? A friend of mine told me he named his bathroom gym. So they said, do you go to the gym? He says, oh, yeah, I go to the gym several times a day. Imagine you go to the gym and you tell the trainer, here's my goals. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I want to be able to run up the steps and not get winded. I want to have tone in my arms. I want to get that six-pack, you know, right? Some of us got the gallon, but they want the six-pack, you know, right? And then you say to the trainer, so here, those are my goals, but listen, I don't do cardio, okay? And forget about leg day. I'm not into that leg day stuff, all right? And back day. I don't do all that stuff, okay? What do you think the trainer's going to say? He's going to say, look, if you want it, if you want that, there are some things that you're going to have to do. Or if you go to the dentist, don't tell me I got any cavities. I don't want any drilling. I don't want any of that root canal stuff, right? And the dentist is going to say, okay, well, if you don't want that, do you floss? Do you brush your teeth? Right? Or you go to the doctor, you say to the doctor, I don't want to hear about high blood pressure. I don't want to hear about cholesterol, right? But you're eating fatty foods full of sugar. You're smoking cigarettes. You're drinking soda all day long. Don't pray for good health if you never exercise and you don't eat right. Does this make sense to anybody? It's very practical, okay? How many know we serve a practical God? Yes, he's a miracle-working God. He's a healing God. We believe that, right? But you can't be doing this. Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. It doesn't work, right? Amen? Okay. Don't ask God to do for you in the supernatural what he's expecting you to do in the natural. David prayed to defeat Goliath, but he still had to sling a rock at him. Joshua prayed to defeat Jericho, but they still had to march around the city 7 times. Gideon asked God to drive out the Midianites, but he still had to lead 300 men into battle. Right? So, yes, God will answer our prayers, but sometimes we have to seek until we find. There's effort involved in our part. So we're told to ask, and we're told to seek, and sometimes there's knocking. Everybody say knocking. Knocking. So knocking, now here's what knocking is, okay? So asking and seeking, they both give us the picture of being in the space, in the room, okay? And we're looking for the answer. The answer is in the room. Knocking gives us the image of being outside of the room. Now, what's the room? Let's say that the room is the will of God. And in there, in the will of God, there are all these things. And in the will of God, you can ask for things and God will say, yes, I'll give it to you. In the will of God, there are things that he wants to release into your life. But sometimes you've got to do your part as well. But here you are knocking. So knocking means that you're on the outside. You're on the outside of a closed door. And you're knocking on that door. In other words, there is a door, there's a way in to receiving something in the will of God for your life. That God has a will, he has willed something for you, okay? But there's a closed door. You're not experiencing that thing. You're not seeing that thing. You know it's God's will for you to have that thing in your life because it says in his word that it's his will for you. Now, I'm not talking about name it, claim it. Okay, blab it and grab it. I'm talking about if we ask anything according to his will, 1 John says, if we ask anything according to his will, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, right? So you know it's God's will because there's a promise in the word that says God will do it in your life, right? A healing in your body. By his stripes, we are healed. A financial need. He will meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Salvation of a friend. He's not willing that any should perish. A job to provide for your family. Revival in your church. Whatever it is in your life, your prodigal children to come home, right? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your whole household. So you have these promises in the will of God, but the door is closed. It's not happening in your life. It's not opening up to you. And here you are. You're knocking on the door. You see, there are things that we know are God's will for us, but he just has not given them to us yet, right? We all know that there are several ways that God answers prayer, right? God says yes, he says no, and he says wait. Yes, no, wait. And this is why Jesus says don't stop. That's why he says don't give up. Persist. Keep asking. Hallelujah. Right? Wait. Sometimes God is saying, right? So this is that season of waiting. Knocking on the door. You're on the outside. You know God's will is in there, but the door is closed. It hasn't opened up to you yet, right? So now think about this. When you knock on a door, how many times do you usually knock? Have you knocked on a door? How many have ever gone up to a door, knocked on the door, and went? And you just stand there waiting for the door to open, right? That's not how we do it. Usually, when we're knocking on a door, there's a series of knocks, repeated knocks. You keep knocking, especially when you know there's someone on the other side of the door. Right? Have you ever knocked on somebody's door and you're like, I know you're in there. Right? Knocking means you are asking and you are seeking over and over again. You keep knocking on that clue. And while you're knocking, something else is happening. Okay, while you're outside, knocking on the door, knowing the answer or that person or that provision is on the other side, you're knocking on the door, something is happening to you. You're waiting. How many like waiting? Anybody here? Nobody in the mission church likes to wait. On this, we can all agree, okay? No one likes waiting. Especially, we don't like waiting when we know that there's someone on the other side and we're knocking on the door. Why are you making me wait, right? How many husbands know what I'm talking about? You're waiting for one of the children to get out to the car. That was a good save, right? That was good. The Holy Ghost came upon me in that moment. Right? You're in the car, you want to start beeping the horn, right? You would feel like getting out and banging on the door again, you know, and come on, hurry up, right? So nobody likes waiting, okay? Waiting often brings out the worst in us. Something's happening to us while we're waiting, okay? We're forced into a position of patience, long-suffering, trusting, not understanding, not figuring it out. You're forced to trust. You're dealing with the frustration of not having an open door, right? So here's the truth. God, He wants to give what we need. He wants to meet our need, right? But God is not interested in pampering us physically. He's more concerned about perfecting us spiritually. And sometimes this is why God wants us to knock. This is why He makes us wait. Everybody say wait. Wait. Because in that process of waiting, things are starting to come out of us. Do we really believe God? Do I really have faith? Do I really trust His word? Do I really think that God is good? Do I really even believe that God is there? All of these things start to come out. They start to come to the surface, right? And now we find ourselves standing outside all alone. We don't have people out there propping us up and encouraging us. We're not seeing miracles. We're not seeing answers to prayer. We don't even have the feeling of His presence. Have you ever been there, right? In those seasons of dryness, right? David wrote these psalms. They're called the Psalms of Complaint. And you read in the Psalms, sometimes where David said, God, where are you? Where are you, God? Why have you abandoned me, right? The Psalms of Complaint, where it seems like God has left him. Now, how many know God will never leave us nor forsake us? But sometimes God will withdraw the awareness of His presence from us. He's still with us, but we don't hear Him and we don't feel Him. And it's in those times where things start to come to the surface. He removes people from our lives that usually encourage us. In fact, maybe He's allowed people to turn against us. Maybe He's allowed people to hurt us. So we don't have the feelings, we don't have the people to encourage us, and we're not seeing any miracles. So we're all alone standing outside facing a closed door, and it's in that moment where what's really in our heart starts to come to the surface. Do I trust Him? Do I believe Him? Do I really believe His word? There's no one there to encourage you, no one there to support you, no feelings to prop you up, nothing like it's just you and the word of God and the question, will you believe the word of God? My friend, that's pure faith. That's the refinement of faith. 2 Peter talks about the refining of your faith. Some of you, he said, you need to go through this fiery trial. Because the refining of your faith is more precious than gold in the fire. It's the refinement of our faith. Because for some of us, our faith, our ability to trust God is dependent on somebody to prop us up emotionally. It's dependent on somebody to encourage us. It's dependent on somebody to tell us, no, keep believing God. For some of us, our faith is dependent on the feelings. Our faith is dependent on the experiential side. Right? Our faith is dependent on seeing some manifestation, some answer, right? So our faith is not pure. Our faith is an amalgam of all these other things. And so the Lord says, I'm going to bring you through a process now. I'm going to put you outside. Yes, I have things in my will for you in that space, but I'm going to put you on the outside and I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to leave you out there and you're going to stand out there in the cold, in the rain, all by yourself, nobody out there, and all you can do is knock on the door. I'm going to refine your faith. And you're going to be forced to in a place where you're going to say, I believe the word of God. I don't need to feel it. I don't need somebody to prop me up. I don't even need to see miracles, Lord. I believe your word. I can trust you, Lord, without leaning on my own understanding. I can trust you, Lord, even when I don't understand you. I can trust you. That's faith, my friend. Faith is not what happens when the bills are paid and the body's healed and all the children are serving God. Faith is what happens when there's no money in the bank, there's pain in your body, and prayers aren't being answered, and you're still able to pray, lift your hands up and say, my God, I trust you. My Jesus, I love you. My God, I'm gonna follow you. That, my friend, is faith. And that's the kind of worship that God is after from us, right? That's the kind of worship where you can worship all by yourself and you don't even have Pastor Chris, right? Don't you wish you could take Pastor Chris home with you, right? No, you have no worship team? You have no musicians, you have no singers, right? You got no Hillsong's music, you got nothing, you got no elevate, none of that. It's just you and Jesus. You, Jesus, and a closed door. It's what we call praying through. Praying through. Let me ask the worship team to join me up here, please. Praying through. Everybody say praying through. It's more than a cliche, it means something. What does it mean, praying through? It means to pray through all the areas of resistance that exist within ourselves. To push through all of those elements of the flesh, the doubt, the fear, the offense, the complaining, the anger, the rebellion, the self-willfulness, all of that stuff. All that gets in the way of our ability to trust and receive from God. Praying through, standing on the outside, knocking on that door, is when we confront the reality of where we are spiritually. Remember, God is not interested in pampering us physically. He's interested in perfecting us spiritually. Most of us are concerned about getting God to do something for us. God is more concerned about doing something in us, right? Lord, why did you allow this to happen? I can tell you the answer to that. Because he wants to do something in you. That's always the right answer, isn't it? No matter what you go through, God, why did you allow this to happen? Because there's something that God's trying to do. Lord, why did you strip me of this? Why did you take this away from me? Why did you allow this to come crashing in on my life? And the Lord says, because there's something in you that I need to pull out of you. And it's been hidden by all these other structures in your life. I haven't been able to get at it. But it's actually hindering. And I'm talking to somebody right now. It's actually impeding what I want to do in your life and where I want to take you. This attitude, this tendency that you have, it's become like a ceiling that's been holding you. You continually bump up against this rebellion or this self-willfulness or this lack of teachableness or whatever it is, teachability. Wherever you go, you're going to get to that point and it's going to stop you. He says, so I have to remove all of these structures in your life, all of these things, so that I can finally expose it and I can reach into your life and I can pull it out of you. Hallelujah. Because I'm trying to take you somewhere further, somewhere deeper, somewhere higher. But we got to deal with this stuff. Praying through. Everybody say praying through. Praying through is when asking turns to seeking. Seeking turns to knocking. Knocking turns to pounding. Pounding turns to prostrate on the ground, crying out to God, repenting, renouncing, purging our life of sin and rebellion. Right? Yes, it's God's will for us to have certain things. But his greater will is to do something in us. And before he gives us that thing, he wants to change something about us. Push. Everybody say push. Pray until something happens, right? Ask, yes. Seek, you may have to. Knock, yeah, you might be there right now. But keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking, because it will be opened up to you. Let's all stand together. So this week, as we continue our final week of 21 days of hunger, keep asking and know that all of heaven goes into motion on your behalf. Keep seeking and know that God will show you the responsibilities that you have in obtaining that answer. Keep knocking and allow the Lord to bring to the surface those things in your heart that have been holding you back in your forward progression. He loves you. You serve a God who is passionately in love with you. He loves you. Hallelujah. He wants to do incredible things in your life. He really does. He's not punishing you. He's not trying to hold things back from you. He's trying to do something deeper in all of us. Amen? So in a moment, we're going to close the service here. We're going to open the altar. And let me just say this. Don't forget, Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, a week from tonight, 6 o'clock, our celebration of praise. I just have a sense that this something incredible is going to happen next Sunday night. I really believe this is going to be a powerful night. Freddie Washington will be here to lead in worship along with our worship team here. And I'm so excited about our guest speaker, Pastor David Mazzella. He's a pastor from Capital Church in Albany, presbyter of the Capital Section, and a good friend. And he's a young guy, and he's just got a word from the Lord. I know he's going to come with a word from God. So, celebration of praise. How many are going to be here? Come early because the place is going to be packed, all right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. For your faithfulness, God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Oh, we magnify you. We magnify you. We worship you, Jesus. Church, would you join me in worship right now? Just lift your hands to the Lord. Yes, we exalt your name, Lord. Oh, we glorify you. Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Oh, we trust you, Lord. Yes, we lean on you, Lord. Because you are worthy. You are good, Lord. You are good. We trust you, Lord. Oh, we trust you, Lord. Oh, we lean on you. We lean on you because, Lord, you are good. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are, Lord. Oh, you're so good, Lord.
Till my praise becomes my triumph.
Yeah, my God.
Sing because I trust you.
Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus.
I will lift my heart.
Mighty God.
I will bring my
mighty
soul.
God. Awesome Lord. Yes.
I'll praise before my breakthrough.
Yes, I will, Lord. Praise you. I praise
till
you.
Till my song becomes my trust.
Yes. Yes, my God.
I will sing because I trust you.
Because I trust you, Lord.
I will bring my heart. I will lift my soul.
Hallelujah. My God. So I want to open the altars. I just